How are we doing today? We excited for the word?
Yes.
Okay. James, I don't know if I can handle you sitting there every week. Such a distraction even to me. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Okay. Yeah. Obedience, the key to success. No, this is not a Tony Robbins success motivational speaker thing, even though I have the Tony Robbins microphone. Huh? You guys even know who Tony Robbins is? Anybody know? None of you guys know who Tony Robbins is. He's like the 7-foot-tall Philistine. Motivational Philistine. I don't know Tony Robbins. All right, whatever. All right, I want to encourage you. Today, lift up your Bible. You bring a Bible today. All right. All you guys that don't have Bibles, now you're going to get a little rebuke from your pastor today. Come on, let's bring our Bibles and our journals, something to write with, to church. Amen. Okay. Bring your Bible. That is ridiculous. That's a Bible? That's awesome. Okay. Let's get Bibles. You don't have a Bible? Steal a Bible. No, don't steal a Bible. I think I've had people steal my Bible before. That's weird.
Amen.
All right. Samuel 15, verse 1. Samuel said to Saul, I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people Israel. So listen now to the message of the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go attack the Amalekites and totally destroy everything that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put them to death. Men, women, children, and infants, cattle, sheep, camels, and donkeys. So Saul summoned the men, and that was sort of weird, and mustered them at Telaim. I never. 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men from Judah. Verse 5. Saul went to the city of Amalek and set an ambush in the ravine. Then he said to the Canaanites, go away. Leave the Amalekites so that I do not destroy you along with them, for you showed kindness to the Israelites when they came up out of Egypt. So the Canaanites wisely moved away from the Amalekites. How many know it's sometimes good to move away from someone who's about to get destroyed? Then Saul attacked. You guys ever do that? You see somebody like, he's about to get a spanking, and I think I need to get out of the way. Here comes Mama, the frying pan. Verse 7, then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah, to the east of Egypt. He took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. Uh-oh. Everybody say uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
And all his people he totally destroyed with a sword. Say good. Okay. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle and fat calves and lambs, everything that was good. Say uh-oh again. Uh-oh. These they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. Verse 10, then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. I am grieved that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. Samuel, say obedience.
Obedience.
All right. Samuel was troubled, and he cried out to the Lord all night. Verse 12, early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul, but he was told Saul had gone to Carmel. There, the word is, it's always split between the pages there, okay? There he has set up a moment a monument in his own honor and has turned and gone down to Gilgal. Gilgal. Sounds like a good southern town. When Samuel reached out, Saul said, "The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions." But Samuel said, "What then is the bleating of sheep in my ears? What is the lowing? What is this lowing of cattle that I hear?" Saul answered, "The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites." The soldiers. The soldiers brought from the Amalekites, and they spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God. But we totally destroyed the rest. "Stop," Samuel said to Saul. "Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. You disobedient king, making me stay up all night listening to the Lord. Tell me," Saul replied. Samuel said, "Although you were once small in your eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel and sent you on a mission saying, 'Go and completely destroy the wicked peoples of the Amalekites. Make war upon them until you've wiped them out.' Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord?" "But I did obey the Lord," said Saul. "I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took the sheep and the cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal." But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed better than fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He has rejected you as king." Let's pray. Lord, we ask that today your word would be revealed to us. God, that you would speak new truth to us. Lord, you'd help us to become men and women that are willing to hear your voice and obey, and to walk in your blessings, to walk in your anointing, to walk in your power. Lord, let every good and perfect gift that you have ordained for us, every good and perfect work that you have set before our hands and our feet, Lord God, let those things come to completion. God, let them come to completion through our faith and our obedience in Jesus' name. All God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Let's read this part one more time. "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams." I'm not really into the fat of rams. Not really into fat on me at all. I usually go grab fat of rams. I don't even know if I ever touched a ram, come to think of it. But to obey is better than sacrifice. You know, you and I, we can have all kinds of jobs, tasks, things that look like kingdom things. We can put our hands to the plow on innumerous amounts of activity as Christians, especially in our modernized Christian worlds. There's 1,000 things that you can set your heart to and set your mind to or get involved in and plug into. Well, brothers and sisters, you really need to plug into the ministry. Right? If you've been around Christianity for long enough, you start hearing, "Come on, you need to get plugged in." Now, this could be great. This could be excellent. But just because we make great sacrifices does not mean we're walking in obedience to the Lord. Just because we do things that look like spiritual things doesn't mean they are. You guys with me? I can get involved in serving in GM. Get involved in serving in our kids ministry. In fact, I could get involved in every single prayer ministry there is in this church. I could get involved in every single activity that our church does. If I did that, I didn't ask the Lord specifically about, Lord, do you have this for me? Lord, is this obedience for me? Are you giving me a direct word to be involved in this ministry? See, if I do that because I perceive that great sacrifice to be godly or to be what the Lord desires, I mean, I got a wife and 5 kids. If I go take all of that time and go just build the kingdom in that way, guess what I did? I don't have any more time to spend with my family. Even though I make this huge sacrifice for the kingdom, right? I could lose my family in the process. Look, we know there are principles in the scripture that we see that God says, you got to do these things. Our character. We don't need to ask, oh Lord, should I lie today? Should I not lie today? Should I walk in obedience to your law, your moral law? Okay, we don't have to ask the Lord if we should do these things, right? Because we know they're right. But the activities, like Saul, he gets out and he gets a word from God, right? Not only does God anoint him and make him king and give him all this authority and power to carry out great and powerful things for him, for the Lord, he gives him a direct word and a command. Go destroy all the Amalekites. I want you to spank them for what they did when you came up out of Egypt, right? So he sends Saul out. Saul goes out there and he gets all ready. He's all positioned to obey. But then what does he do? He wipes him out and he puts his arm around the king. What's up, Agag? What's up, buddy? He keeps him for a while. I don't know. He wants to play pool with him or something. Why does he keep that guy? Then he takes all the best of the cattle. Takes all the best of the sheep. No. And he says he's going to make a sacrifice to God with those things. See, we can fall into this same trap that Saul falls into just as easy. Every day you have the option. Just do whatever you want to do. Or get a partial word, get a word from the Lord and then tweak it at the end. So that it fits what you really desire, you really want. Look, guys, gals. Obedience is tremendously important. It's tremendously important. If we don't get the key and the piece of obedience, then we are going to fall into our hope, for our God desires that we have for our life, being deferred, being let down all the time. And Proverbs 13:12 says this. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. He who scorns instruction will pay for it, but he who respects a command is rewarded. So check it out. If you and I don't get on our faces before God and get a direct word from Him about how we're supposed to engage our lives in ministry, in life, period, every day, then listen, you and I, we're going to stray off and make all these sacrifices that don't produce eternal life. Now, I doubt that God's going to come and spank you as hard as he did Saul, like he did in this situation. Saul is the king, all right? Saul had tremendous responsibilities to lead the whole of God's, people. So you don't have that tremendous amount of responsibility. It's not shaped the same way, but every single day you and I have an option to either just go our own way, or we have the option and the opportunity to seek the Lord for a word and to understand what that word, how that word should be practically applied into our lives and take it into faith and action and obedience in our life. See, God puts desires in your heart. Am I right? You have a desire in your heart. One, you got to make sure this desire is a God desire. If you have a desire in your heart that is just your desire, a worldly desire, now you're building off the wrong motive. See, you have to understand what God desires so that you can match your desire with God's desire. Then that's a desire that God wants to achieve. He wants to see that come to an end, to come to completion. He wants to see good fruit come out of that desire. You guys with me? All right. So we start asking God about this desire. God, I want to see my family saved. Right? God, I want to make a mark for you. I want to trade my life for something that's worth it. Right? These are good desires. We know these are God's desires because we see them in the Scripture. Right? We see them as God's desires in the Word of God. So now we know we're onto something. Start asking Him for that. Start stirring up hope and belief and faith. But then you've got to get a direct word from God about that desire you have. Once you get that direct word from God, now you have to put it into action. God says, so you want to see your family saved? All right then. All right then. Well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home tonight. I want you to ask your mom, your dad, what it is you can do to serve them. What it is you can do to help build their vision and build their family. What can I do to serve you? I don't care if they're saved or not. All right? Huh? Okay, so God tells you to do that. God says, well, you know what I really want you to do? I want you to submit all your plans for your life to your parents, to your authority. Oh, yeah. Scary moment for me right now. Okay, what if the Lord says that to you? Huh? What if God says, like He said to the rich man, give all you have. Sell all you have and give it to the poor. What if He says that? What if He says, hey, look, I know you just got married, but I really want you to take in this orphan. Oh, but that doesn't work into my 5-year plan, Lord. Oh, Lord, I already got 5 kids. What does that mean? Lord, I really want you to take that car you've got, and I want you to give it away to that guy. Or that girl. Because some girls want cars too. The Lord might tell you to give your car to a girl. So what are you going to do? He says, come on, give your tithe, and I'll bless the rest. Give your offerings. Cast your bread upon the waters, and it'll come back to you. He starts challenging you. You start seeking Him and asking Him for God's desires. I promise you, He's going to start challenging you. He's going to give you direct words. He's going to say, oh, hey, you know that lust problem you got? Hey, let's stop it. Oh, okay. Like our friend Julie over here. Oh, hey, Lord, I really want to serve you. Not that. I'm talking something new. Lord, I really want to serve you. I want to give you my whole life. And then the Lord goes, okay, I want you to go pick it at the abortion clinic. Okay. You following me? I promise you, I was talking to Noella today at Kalati's, and we're reading in Ezekiel chapter 3, and she says something about the Lord telling her to read Ezekiel. The Lord tells Ezekiel, I want you to make this little model of the city of Jerusalem and all this stuff. And he goes, then I want you to lay on your side, your left side, 390 days. Okay. And then when you're done with that, I want you to put this model on top of you to represent the sin and all this kind of crazy stuff. And then he goes, then I want you to lay on your other side for 40 more days for the sin of Judah. And that's going to represent, you know, the siege and all the time the years are going to spend in exile and all that stuff. And he goes, store up all this food and stuff like that so that you can cook it with your own poo. This is in the Bible. I'm not making this up. Then he goes, no, I don't want to do, Lord, that's crazy. I've never eaten food cooked on my own poop. And he goes, okay, you can cook it with cow poop. Say it sucks to be Ezekiel. All right. Well, what does Ezekiel do? He obeys. He spends 430 days laying on his sides, eating food cooked from cow poop. Dude, poo. But he obeys the Lord, right? He obeys the Lord. God keeps using him over and over and over to witness to the Israelites before they go into exile into Babylon. You want God to use you? I'm telling you, if you want God to use you, you better be ready to do some radical dying to yourself. Obedience is allowing, dying to your will and allowing your will to be conformed to God's will. That's what obedience is. It's easy to obey the things you want to do already. Your mom's like, hey, I really want you to come here and take this $100 bill from me and go buy whatever you want. You're like, okay. Right? It's so hard to obey you, Mom. No. I really want you to take these keys to your brand new Toyota Tundra and just take it and go drive it. Yeah. Oh, it's so hard, Dad. I can't do it. Rather than, son, I really need you to go mow the lawn, take out the trash, and while you're at it, I need you to power wash the whole house, the outside. I really need you to watch your little brother and sister. I really, son or daughter, I really need you to stay at home maybe for an extra year so that you can help build our family. I need you to give. We're in a really hard time. I need you to give some of the money you're earning to our family. You know, your grandma and grandpa, they're really lonely. They're in this home all by themselves. And I really need you to go and to build a relationship with them. Because they're old. And they're alone. And guess what? You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. Well, what happens when God starts telling you this? This one time the Lord tells me, so this is old couple, I was probably 19, I think, and the Lord tells me this old man in our church and his wife, he has Parkinson's disease, so he's, you know, really shaky and he can hardly talk. And the Lord tells me, he goes, I want you to spend time with these two and I want them to mentor you and do what they tell you to do. I'm like, okay. So I go, this is not the people I normally hang out with. I want you to know this. Guys that are in their 80s, all right? It's not typically my first pick for, you know, long-term friendships. And so, this is one of the greatest blessings that God ever led me into in my life. And so I go over and I introduce myself to Glenn and Shirley Bragg, who live down in, they lived down in Kenai at the time when I was down there. And they go, okay, Josh, let's go to the nursing homes together. So this couple that could have been in a nursing home, I'm not kidding, still serving God, served God every day of their life in obedience to the Lord. Everything God told them to do, I mean, they just did it. And Shirley and Glenn, they started teaching me how to preach, and I go into the nursing homes with them and just help them get into the nursing home so we could go preach. And then they'd minister, and you know, we'd sing songs and stuff. And I just walk in obedience to everything he told me to do and everything she told me to do. And we minister to these people that they're going crazy, and they're in this nursing home. And I mean, I have old ladies walking around me, talking to me. Johnny, I haven't seen you forever. You know, I'm like their son. You know, they thought I was their missing son because they had dementia and other kinds of problems. And okay, this was one of the most profound developments of my character that I ever experienced in my whole Christian walk. I would sit and wait because the Lord told me that Glenn had a word for me. And I would sit and wait for an hour to get what you and I could hear in 5 minutes from him because he could barely talk. Some of the most profound spiritual impartation in my life came through them. But I would have never had that opportunity. In my natural eyes, I wouldn't think going to minister with this really old couple in a nursing home would be some kind of profound influence into my life. I would never have imagined that. But because I was willing to just walk in obedience and trust, even though my own understanding couldn't process far enough down the road how valuable that would be in my Christian walk. See, now the Lord has shown me through that time in my life, not only the specific things that they spoke to me, but the value of honor and not forgetting the generations that have gone before us and learning to build on their platform. Because they took me as a young man and lifted me up. And they would take me in there and they just let me go. And then they take me out and just speak to me and teach me and like just help correct me on like how to prepare and how to put messages together and how to really love people that are so unlovely and unlike you. And that honor is the thing that brings the generations together. The Lord spoke that to me through that experience. Many years later, he started to show me that if we honor generations, then all of a sudden it begins to knit all of what God has done throughout hundreds of years, literally, together, and empowers the current generation to build on their platform. All right. Obedience is the only way that we step into moments like this. It's the only way. You cannot plan it out. Proverbs 3:5, you've probably read this a bunch of times before, but it says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him and He will" what? "Make your path straight." See, if you try to understand it all with your mind and figure out this perfect, you know, 10, 15 point plan for your life, you're not going to end up in a success with the Lord. You're not going to find yourself in success in building God's kingdom. You're going to get a lot of tasks done. Some of them might look like kingdom fruit, but you're going to end up either standing with the Lord or looking back in your life at some point going, "What is with my plan? My plan is not getting me what I really desire in the kingdom of God." There are specific things that the Lord has done in my own personal walk along the way that I could never have planned. And they would only have happened through obedience. When He led me to Him, then He called me to be a pastor within the first week of being saved. And it was 8 years of one act of obedience in the workplace to another, leading me from fishing industry to oil industry to retail and all these specific experiences and in college and specific things that He led me to that only would have happened in obedience. I had the Lord speak a word to me. He said, "I want you," he says, "Baptist Church." And He says, you know, Texas. And so I end up just listening to the Lord. And then all of a sudden, somebody had been talking to my wife about going to Texas. So we end up going to Bible school in Texas. So she gets this information all about this Bible school in Texas, and I get this word from the Lord, says, Texas, I'm 17, just getting married, right? So we pack everything we have up and go to Texas. 17 and 18 years old, married. Woo! That's an adventure. I got no clue how we're going to sort it all out. Every day, the Lord just kept providing for us. We had to live with cardboard for furniture. It was fun. So that I'm there, and God leads me to this Baptist church. And I'm thinking, the Lord said Baptist church to me. And I go, and they had this huge Holy Ghost revival. Everybody's speaking in tongues, getting baptized in the Spirit. It's like craziness. So I go to this home group. There's a bunch of home groups to go to, and I just picked one. And the guy who is this special speaker doing this huge revival happens to be at this small group. And I'm sitting there eating some nachos. I don't know. I'm just like, Lord, whatever. He told me Baptist church, I'm here, you know. And the dude's sitting there and he's eating nachos, and I'm eating nachos. And we're like, and he looks at me. I'm like, hey. He goes, God has a word for you. Wherever you go there and then you stay until God sends you somewhere else, till he gives you another word to go. Otherwise, you're not released. You have to stay there until God gives you another word to go somewhere else. It's a good word. Okay, this word has been etched into my mind throughout every major decision I've ever made in my life. And has, if I didn't obey and follow the Lord in these instructions, the word that he has given me, I'd have missed on that opportunity right there. That word is why I'm here, right here today, right now. Otherwise, I'd be gone. Or I'd be somewhere else. Because lots of adversity happens no matter where you go. And I needed that kind of word to stand through the adversity and the things that happen to your emotions and make you think, this can't be God. I got to get out of here. I got to do something else. Whatever. Okay? You get a word from God and you stay into it. And you obey and you stay right there until he tells you to go somewhere else. Now look, every single one of those times except for the time when I was in college, I went to school, obeyed the Lord. Everybody's trying to pressure me to go to college, but I'm like, look, I'm not going unless the Lord tells me to go. He's told me to stay here. He's told me to do what I'm doing. I don't understand. It's beyond my understanding, but I'm sitting under men and I'm getting discipled and mentored. And for right now, I got to stay hunkered down here. And so I was doing that, and then the Lord released me and told me to go to college. So I went off and I went to the school that he told me to go to. And I got totally radicalized at this church called the City Church in Kirkland, Washington. Okay? College was okay. I learned some things. I really wanted to get my degree. And I was tracking along. And then we were going into the last summer that I was there. It was in the year of 2000. And the Lord speaks to my wife. Gives my wife a word. Josh, it's time for us to go home. We need to go back home. I'm like, no, that can't be right. I didn't finish my degree yet. And my wife's like, seriously, I think it's time. I think the Lord's saying we need to go home. I'm like, no. So I hunker down and I keep us there, and I plan on, we're going to be at this school for the next 6 months, right? And I thought, well, even if I can get to January, I can get at least my associate's degree out of this whole program, right? Because I'm thinking the whole reason I'm there is to get my degree. So I don't listen to my wife. Okay, first key, guys. Listen to your wife. Okay. I'd only been married like 6 years at that point, so there's excuses for me, I guess. Maybe not. Maybe it was 5 years. I don't. Yeah, six, five, whatever. Anyway, I should have known better. And I didn't hear the word of the Lord through my wife. Ephesians 5 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I wasn't really willing to do that. So what happens is my friend who's in the oil field, he keeps calling me. He calls me 3 times that summer. And this job, I mean, I make almost $1,000 a day in this job. He's like, dude, we need work. I need you to come back to Alaska. I'm like, no, dude, I got to finish my degree. Not seeing the signals, okay? Yeah. So that next 6 months was the darkest, hardest, most difficult period in my whole life. I slept less than 3 hours a night on average for that whole year because of the job and the work that I had at the same time and commuting like an hour both ways, so 2 hours a day, trying to like do college full time and all that stuff. A lot of you guys have heard my story about that, but that happened in that window because I disobeyed the Lord. And He continued to discipline me stronger and stronger and stronger until it was so hard that I broke. I finally listened to His word and I obeyed. Then I came back to Alaska with lots of debt and all kinds of just hurt and pain that I caused in my family. Not good. Right. But ultimately, I obeyed. And God put me back on the rails. Got me back on track. Now listen, you can take the road of disobedience and not keeping your ears and eyes open to the Word of God and have the Lord have to bring out the giant hammer and to get you back onto the tracks. Or we can just desire obedience in our life. If we partner or empower obedience and we desire to find those words that God is trying to speak to us and walk in obedience to those, then guess what? You're going to stay on those rails. And even if you make some decisions that are wrong, you're going to instantly know it. And if you really desire obedience, then all of a sudden, you're going to course correct. God's going to get you back on those tracks. You know, if I would have just listened to the Lord, I would have, you know, gotten myself back on the track when I was down in college. I would have gotten myself back on the track a whole lot sooner. And I would have had a lot smaller or less complicated consequences or, you know, these consequences were so severe in my life and they were hard. They were really hard. They took me years to recover from. So, lean not on your own understanding. See, in all your ways, you have to trust the Lord. You have to trust the Word of God. Even if you can't perceive and understand in your mind how this could possibly make sense. It didn't make any sense when the Lord told Gideon to whittle his army of thousands down to 300 to face an enemy of thousands. That makes no sense. Made no sense to Ezekiel when he said, lay on your side for 440 stinking days or 30 days or whatever it was. That's ridiculous. Obedience. Key to success. Jericho, march around it 7 times for 7 days. And then all the walls are going to fall down when you shout. Oh yeah, that makes sense to me. That's probably what I would have done. I mean, honestly, it probably would have been in my 3-year plan for taking, you know, all of, you know, the promised land. First, in my plan, I'm going to take the ark and I'm going to have the people walk out into the water. And then my plan is to make that ark push the water up so that we can all walk across on dry land. It's my 5-year, you know, vision plan. And then we're going to walk around this city and it's going to all smash and fall down. It's going to be sweet. You know? Right? That's usually how we plan things, isn't it? Total ridiculous stuff that doesn't make any sense, but somehow it produces this huge miracle. God doesn't want it to be logical. He doesn't want it to be in a way that you could figure it out and do it. Then He doesn't get the glory. He wants obedience. He doesn't want you just to make this huge sacrifice of hundreds of hours of your time in ministry. That's not what He wants. He wants you to be faithful with what He's given you. He gives you a word, you be faithful with it. He gives you revelation, you be faithful with it. See, your responsibility is equal to your revelation. Your responsibility is equal to what God has given you. Gives you a fresh revelation. Well, guess what? Your responsibility is to speak that revelation or to live that revelation out in your life, to walk in obedience to God's word. If we don't do this, we don't see the kingdom of heaven here on earth. We just see our own acts, totally uninspired and not empowered by the Holy Spirit, that look like ministry, that look like kingdom things. Look, I'm not interested in being a part of ministry or whatever that means, right? A part of church life, Christian living, that isn't totally and wholly inspired by the power of God. I'm just not interested. I hope you're not interested in the same thing. We don't have to do the logical thing to see the kingdom of God here on earth. In fact, I promise you, the more you surrender to the Lord, the more radical things He's going to ask you to do. So are you willing? Are you willing in your heart right now to make this shift that, Lord, obedience is my highest calling in You. I want to know You, but look, when I know You, God, I want to have my faith in action. James says that faith without works is dead. Faith without obedience, it's dead. It doesn't mean anything. And it'll never produce the powerful things in the kingdom that we desire to see. You know, I had this job when I was in the oil field that was this really interesting job. And you know, sometimes the words that God wants to speak to us are not in the places where we would like them to be, or they don't come from the people that we'd really like them to come from. The people that it's the easiest to receive them from. My dad used to teach me all kinds of things, and he was trying to teach me this one thing about potential energy. Okay? And I don't think I really wanted to listen to him, I guess. And so I missed this piece in my life. And one day, I used to have this job where I was a derrick hand, okay? And a derrick is on an oil rig, and it's the part of the oil platform that's all kind of metally and wiry, and it goes way, 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 way up in the sky. You guys ever seen that? You guys know what I'm talking about? Okay, so I would go about 50 to 60 feet up in that thing, all right? And then I would stand on a board that was probably about twice as big as this thing right here. So it was probably about, you know, yay big. It was all metal grate. So I'd stand on, Gabriel, come here. So I'd stand on this board, like 50 feet up, and just put your arms out. There you go. Yeah, there you go. So, no, hold me up. Okay. Don't let me die. I'm 50 feet up, dude. You let me go, I'm going to fall on the ground and die. So I'd lean out like this. And I'm heavy, aren't I?
Yeah, you are. And
stop eating all those Oreos. Okay. I'd lean out like this and hold on to a pipe. Oh, there you go. That's better. Okay, stay. Don't move. And I hold on to a pipe like this. Come on. What's wrong with you?
Push.
You're going to make me die. I'm going to die.
Okay, I'm trying.
You're gonna, I got to be able to trust you. Push hard.
You just pushed it on me.
You're supposed to push back.
I know.
Do I need to get you a Nancy t-shirt?
Okay.
Push hard. Okay. So I'd lean out like this, 50 feet up. And there'd be this little... Go sit down. You're not strong enough. I'm too heavy. I need to stop eating. More exercise. Okay. I'd lean out like that, 50 feet up, and there'd be all these huge, stinking oil, you know, like drilling rig stuff going by me, and I'd be holding on. So to get up this derrick to do this really ridiculous, dangerous job, I would, you know, you'd climb way up this straight up vertical ladder. So they have this thing. There's two options. You have option A. Take the clip that's hooked to your like safety lanyard, the thing that hooks all around you, and just clip it to each rung of the ladder and then start climbing and then grab it, clip it to another one and keep going, right? Not bad. That's normally how I would climb up these. But they have this option B. This other apparatus that's called the derrick helper, okay? So you clip into this and it has this huge pulley system that goes seriously about 160 feet, 170 feet up in the very tippy top of this derrick, comes down, and then there's this stack of weights that's set on the other side to help like counteract the amount of weight that you are, right? So, you know, I was about 225 at the time, and I'm thinking, how many Derek hands are over 225? First mistake. So you'd put on like, for me, I'd probably put on like 200 pounds. So then I only have to pull 25 pounds and I can go 100 feet up, right? That's sweet. So that's easy. Well, I should have had a really, I needed a better lesson from my dad when he was teaching me about potential energy. Because I hook myself into the Derek helper. And I have to grab it and go to unhook it. I should have had a clue.
Oh, wow.
But then I let go of it. And there must have been a man that weighed probably 260 or 270 pounds that had been in the Derek helper last. Because I shot in the air like a rocket. I am not kidding. It was like... The thing's hooked on my back, right? And so it jerks me up, I'm like, and I'm flying. I mean, flying fast in the sky. It's pitch dark out. I'm probably 100 feet in the air. And I'm still going. So I start grabbing. I'm tipping myself over and I start grabbing the rungs of the ladder with my hands, so it jerks my body, so I'm upside down, hanging straight upside down, grabbing rungs of the ladder while this thing is shooting me up in the air. And I'm thinking I'm going to go all the way over it and back down or something, I don't know. And I finally slow myself down and up to where I'm like, upside down like this, stuck. And I got to climb 100 feet down. I'm pulling more than my body weight, climbing down. Took me like 20 minutes. And I can hear the driller and stuff down there. They're all cussing and going crazy and like, what are you doing up there? Nobody can see me because it's so dark and they have no clue that I'm almost dying, right? I'm playing Superman in the Derek. Okay. So I get to the bottom. And I'm so exhausted. I just pulled my body weight for 100 feet downwards. It was bizarre. I really felt like Spider-Man. A really tired Spider-Man. And I get myself under the rungs of the ladder and I get my whole body like wedged underneath it. Just so I know. It is like, oh. So I'm stuck there. Totally paralyzed, right? And I can hear everybody going crazy down there. And you know, I mean, my job's kind of on the line. If they don't like me, they just kick me out. I mean, I'm making good money every day, right? And so my feet are kind of hanging over the edge, like above, like where the driller's at, you know? He's like, what are you doing up there? You know, I can't even say anything. I'm so tired. I'm trying to pull this thing down to me so I can get out of this medieval torture device. This thing is killing me. It's like a death trap. And one of the guys comes up, you know, to help me out, and he comes around. He starts dying laughing because he knows exactly what happened, you know. He sees me laying on the ground, just totally whipped. I could not do anything. I couldn't even hardly move my arms anymore. They're just like, you know, I was totally spanked. He comes over, he laughs for like 3 minutes straight before he even helps me out of this thing. I'm like, seriously, I know it's funny, but help me, you know. So he gets me out of that sucker, and of course, I'm for the next whole week, you know, the guys in the were making fun of me, and it was good fun. But if I'd have just listened to my daddy and learned a few lessons about what to do and what not to do, okay, in situations like this, my dad had been in the oil field for like 30-some years at this point, and he'd always try to teach me and tell me stuff about, you know, what I should do and what I shouldn't do. And I'd be like, oh, whatever, Dad. I'm good. No. No, I'm not good. Ephesians 6:1 says this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it will go well with you in the land and you will enjoy a long life on the earth. Huh? You don't know when you're going to hook yourself into a Derek helper. You don't. You don't know when you're just accidentally going to hook yourself into a Derek helper and you're just like, whoa! You're in serious trouble. Like that. I want to encourage you. You want a good word for your life? Go to your mother and father. Go to your mom and dad. Come on. I don't care if you're 17, 18, 20, 25. Serious decisions to be made in your life. You want a word from God? Go to your authority. Honor. Honor your father and mother. Go to your grandfather and your grandmother and take these serious situations that you have in your life and lay them before them. Utilize their wisdom and experience through honor. And you're not going to hook yourself into Derek helpers. You're not. You're going to build on their wisdom and their experience, or at least you're going to hook yourself into a lot less of them. Okay? You get their wisdom. It's going to come from people you probably don't want to hear it from. But God wants you to honor your parents. And He wants you to put them in an important place in your life. An important place of authority in your life. And He wants you to listen to their wisdom. And then He wants you to obey it. Even if you can't fully understand it. Trust in the Lord. Right? With all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. He says, honor your father and mother. Obey them. That doesn't sometimes make sense to our own understanding, does it? But it's a seriously important piece in our life where we end up 150 foot up in a derrick stuck in a pulley system. That's scary. I promise you, I wish I had a pair of Depends that day. Depends are adult diapers, if you don't know. That was a scary moment. But I've had real life situations that had serious consequences for them because I wasn't willing to obey. I know you've had them too. I'm going to wrap this thing up and I'm going to read a passage in Deuteronomy chapter 28. So turn your Bibles there if you have them. I'm just going to read a little bit about the blessings of obedience. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow His commands, I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above the nations on earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. Say if. If. It says if you fully obey, not partially, like Saul did, fully obey. It's all or nothing. God says what about lukewarm stuff? He says, be either hot or cold or I will spew you out of my... you out of my mouth. Vomit totes. Verse 3. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks, your baskets and your kneading through will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction and flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land that He is giving you. If what? If you fully obey. The Lord will establish you as His holy people as He promised on an oath. If you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. If you keep the commands of the Lord and walk in His ways. Obedience. Verse 10. Then all the peoples on the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, in the land that He swore to your forefathers He will give to you. The Lord will open up the heavens, the storehouse of His bounty, to send rain on your land in the seasons, and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You will pay attention to the commands. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top and never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. That's a pretty good promise. That's for you and I today. We're children of God. It says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Right? All right, now check it out. Verse 15. However. Say, however. Now look, after you get something like that, that's really, really good, and then it says, however, hunker down. Because it's not going to be good. If you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow His commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. You will be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. Your baskets and your kneading will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed. And the crops of your land and the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. You will be cursed when you come in and cursed when you go out. And it goes on and on and on. Look, there is no lukewarm in the kingdom. I don't care what you think or what other people think about it. There's no middle ground. It doesn't actually exist. Because God's not blurry. He's not like shifting shadows. Okay? When you look at His edge, it's razor sharp. He is who He is. What He desires, what He demands, what He commands is absolute. Now, we might not fully understand it all the time and make mistakes, but it's one side or the other. It's hot or it's cold. Period. That's it. There's no like, well, God's kind of like this. The kingdom of heaven is kind of like this. No. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is. Boom. God is this. Right? God is love. If you obey my commandments, you're blessed. You don't obey them, you're cursed. You're not just normal. Well, Lord, I don't obey your commandments and I kind of do half of what you tell me to do, so I'm okay. Was Saul okay? Be lukewarm and live a prosperous life. Do whatever you desire and sometimes do what God wants. Survey says, no. Not enough Family Feud in the house, I guess. I used to be tortured to have to watch that with my aunts when I was a kid. Okay, Family Feud. You want to be blessed tonight?
Yeah.
Come on. You want to live an abundant life tonight? It's not going to happen unless you walk in obedience. Doesn't happen unless you submit your life to the Word of God. If you do this, if you obey His commandments first, you want a word from God? Okay, Pastor Rick Benjamin's going to speak next week. But when he's done preaching and we take our break, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about how do we get a word from God and know that it's from Him? I'm going to preach as many messages as I've got to preach on it so that we get it. Okay? How do you get a word? You guys ever wonder how you do this? Okay. Nobody has. You guys got to figure it out. Okay. Yeah, like, okay, me. Look, you need to know how to get a word from God, don't you? Because obedience is important. If you don't know how to get a word from God, we're in serious trouble. So don't miss church. Because I'm going to reveal to you the deep secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Oh, the hidden manna. No, it's not hidden manna. It's here every day. You want a word from God first? Get a moral word for your life. Rather than just a positional word of these huge radical, I got to go to Illinois and start a cattle ranch. Okay, don't start there. It's crazy. Start with, you have to be a man or a woman of character. Yeah, let's start right here. You have to be a man or woman that has tremendous humility in your life. I promise you, that's in the Word. You need to find those moral things that God has challenged you. Go to Matthew chapter 6, 5, 6, and 7. Start right there. You want a word for your life? Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I promise you, you're going to get a good word for your life. All right? Start with getting words that challenge your character, because you know they're absolute. And I want to encourage you, most of the words God's going to give you are going to be about that, no matter where you are. Will you stand with me? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that today you would help us to be men and women that walk in obedience to your word. Lord, reveal to us your word. God, show us where we've been disobedient. Show us where we have not submitted our hearts and our lives to you. God, show us where we've just stepped out of line. Forgive us, God, for the places and the times that we only partially obeyed. And help us, God, empower your people, empower each one of us to fully obey the things that you have commanded us. We want to walk in your blessings. And God, right now I pray and speak a blessing over your people, that you'd move in power over them. You'd give them the courage to walk in obedience to your word. In Jesus' name. Amen.